This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to This Week in the NFL, Divisional Round, NFL Playoffs. I am your co-host, the Cowboy, back from a little vacation hiatus, so JT filled in admirably for me last week to ensure that This Week in the NFL did not experience a bye week. We thought we may experience a bye week, but I'm back. Happy to be back. Happy to be joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Mr. John D'Amato. John, how you doing?
Cowboy, happy new year. We missed you last week, but thankfully... there was a capable replacement.
Happy New Year to you as well, John. And given that it's the new year, we've been teasing this for a few weeks. So some of you know this guy. As of 12/31/19, he has officially retired after 30 years of labor working for the government. But the positive, you know, many positives to that, but the big positive to that is that now he's going to be able to join us on This Week in the NFL, which will eventually be This Week in Sports, and we hope that he's an every week guest. You'll remember him from the first and greatest sports show in the history of Place to Be Nation, which was the Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. My co-host there, and also my father, Cowboy Senior. How you doing, Dad?
Hey, it's great to be back. It's great to be retired. It was 35 and a half long years of labor. And this is just, there's nowhere I'd rather be than be here with two of my favorite guys, you, my main man, Cowboy, and of course, one of my idols, my main man, my idol, Johnny D'Amato. Nobody I'd rather be with. This is the way I look at this. I've been a loyal listener of this show all year while I was toiling some night hours. At the PO, I'd be listening to you guys. And I'm going to look at this show tonight as we're kind of putting a meal together. And you two guys are the main ingredients. And I'm just going to try and throw a little spice in there, here and there. And nobody I'd rather be with tonight. Thank you so much.
Well said. You're a spicy individual, Senior. We know that. And I mean... You know, if I know you, there's going to be a little extra spice and a little less of the main ingredients than usual. Very kind words, Senior. I don't even think you needed to say anything kind to John, given that this is maybe the first show of the last 3 years, John, that you've done where you haven't been the oldest guy on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, no, they don't call me Senior for nothing.
He's the middle child here for once. It's a nice thing. So,
but, actually, Roger, you're going to be the most mature one of the group. We don't act our age.
It's a sad statement. It's true, but it's a sad statement. All right, so let's get right to it, boys. So the first thing we're going to talk about, we talk about the wild card round, and especially given we have Cowboy Senior here, I think we have to talk about the Patriots first. You good with that, John?
Yes, it's shocking. Too bad that Senior picked the time to join us. The first time in 10 years that there's no Patriot game this late in the season.
Tennessee goes into New England. I wasn't able to give my thoughts on the matchup before the matchup, obviously because I wasn't on the show. But my feeling on the matchup was, if you looked at the way both teams were playing and you looked at the matchup and you took history out of the equation, that you should pick Tennessee because Tennessee was, you know, playing better, kind of a bad matchup for the Patriots in general. But with a team like the Patriots, very difficult to take history out of the equation. And I personally thought that they would defend home field, that Bill and Tom may pull a rabbit out of the hat. And they almost did. And I don't know if you saw this, John and Senior, but I actually went to the game. It's the first live football game I've been to since like the early 2000s. It was on a whim. I took my buddy Ryder, and it was a loss. but we had a good time. And just the loss is on the offense, right? The offense just wasn't able to get things done. Was that Brady? I have my thoughts there. I'll leave some of that to you guys. But the defense played well. The Tennessee kind of tried to give it away. The offense couldn't take it. So, Senior, what do you think about? What do you think about the Pats game? What was your analysis?
Well, I'll agree somewhat with some of the things you said. I think the defense played well. You can't say a team played bad when they gave up 14 points. However, they did let Derrick Henry control the game. Derrick Henry and that offensive line keep the ball away from the Pats offense quite a bit. So, I mean, this year's version of the Patriots kind of needed a defense to be dominant to win, and they didn't play dominant, and that's not taking anything off of the offense. The offense was what it was. Tom was under the gun trying to throw into windows that were smaller than a peephole coming out of a foxhole or something. My example, and it's kind of a microcosm of how the game went, how the season went. There was a 3rd and 8 right at the beginning of the game that Tom completed a ball and converted to Ben Watson. That I don't know where the window was to put the ball in, but somehow the pass was completed. As a Patriot fan, very disappointed, but not totally crushed, because you couldn't, if you were a realist, you couldn't be totally shocked that they lost. I agree with what you said, that the only thing we had going was history. But you didn't have to go back far. Last year's history, they didn't look like a team that was going to win the Super Bowl going into the playoffs, and they got it going. Okay, I'm going to give you a general thing where something that people saw is not only the fact that we had the only receiver we had that could run a route and get open was Julian Edelman. The other thing, the offensive line problems, which was not only in this game but throughout the season. We had the Pats had various guys hurt in the season, Isaiah Wynn and stuff, and he was back. But this is my view of the offensive line problem. If you go back to last season, when they turned it around at the end of the year and in the playoffs, they turned the offense to a primarily power running game offense. And things that I remember about that power running game offense, number one, David Andrews was at center, one of the best centers in the league. He didn't play all season. Number two, we had Gronk, who was probably putting on the best show blocking that he ever had in his career. There were a couple of games I remember where he hardly caught any balls, and the media was writing that he had some of the best games of his best games of the season, where he caught like 3 balls for 30 yards or something, because his blocking was so dominant. But you know, not having those two guys and not having the the old age is escaping me. Our fullback from Brown,
James Devlin,
such a great lead
Harvard.
James Devlin, Harvard, our Ivy leaguer, our smart guy, who was probably as good a lead blocker as there was in the NFL. We didn't have any of those three guys all season. Then you add in other injuries on the offensive line, but you don't even have to. I think we didn't have the power running game, not because Sony Michel took a step back or our running backs weren't as good. No, it was because you didn't have those guys the whole season. And now, without the power running game, teams are teeing off with the pass rush. And the receiving core is a joke. No one can get open. And so I completely exonerate Tom. You put Tom on the right team, and he's still very much, even at 42 years old, a quarterback that could take a team a long way. But not under these conditions.
You've been saving that one up, Senior.
I guess I'm talking a lot for a
while. That was half the can of seasoning right there, right off the bat. But it's all right. It's
okay.
I know you've been saving that one up. So John, I mean, the big question on everybody's mind, right? And we don't have to spend a ton of time on it, but I have my thoughts. I'd like your thoughts. Will Brady be back? Will Belichick be back? Will both be back? Will neither be back? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think the whole band's coming back?
Yeah, the statement today was, I still have more to prove, which is ridiculous because Tom Brady has nothing to prove. He doesn't have to win another game. He doesn't have to complete another pass, but he still has that fire. He said he's not done. And I don't see him going to another place and it ended somewhere else. I think they keep it together one more year. For a lot of the stuff Senior says, although his play has fallen off, it was due to the supporting cast. And with the right supporting cast, he could still get the job done. But as far as the game goes, it was really shocking to me. I didn't expect them to go down to Tennessee at all. I figured they would go down in this round. And at that 10-7 was the turning point when they had first and goal at the one at 10-7, and they couldn't punch it in and had to settle for a field goal. Yep. And if you go up two scores, if you go up 17-7 on Tannehill, there's no way we're talking about a game this week. Tannehill is not going to bring him back from.
They can't. If they're down 10, you can't give the ball to Henry 40 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And number two, I think this year is a failure not on Bill the coach, but on Bill the GM. For some of the roster, and you can look at, and at 4:30 this Saturday it'll be apparent when you're watching Emmanuel Sanders from San Francisco, and instead Bill's big acquisition was Sanu Senior, and when Emmanuel Sanders was available, and also Deebo Samuel who Bill drafted N'Keal Harry over Deebo Samuel. So you'll be able to see two key cogs in the 49ers that easily could have been wearing Patriots.
The Sanu one is really inexcusable. I mean, he was completely useless.
Nah, that's not inexcusable, though. I seen him with the Falcons. He's a serviceable receiver.
Second round picks a lot, man. I mean, they needed a guy who could take a top off the defense, and that's never been him. I mean, Sanders would have been much better.
But I seen Sanu with the Falcons. He's been productive. I don't really fault him, but it's just not every receiver could come in as you've seen in the past with Ocho Cinco and guys like that. You know, receivers that have thrived other places come here and can't get it done.
I irrationally blame Sanu. I'll be the first to admit it. I think for sure, and I talked to Senior about this over the weekend. I think for sure that Brady's back. As long as he's willing to come, as long as he wants to play in Foxborough, I don't think there's any way Kraft lets him go. And I think some of the stuff Kraft said over the last couple days would back that up. I do think that if it came down to it and it was, Bill didn't want to pay him, I think you could see Bill go. I think there's just my own personal opinion. I don't think there's any way Tom leaves, but I think if Bill is in the camp of we don't want Tom, we don't want to pay him top five quarterback money, whatever it's going to take to keep him, I think it would be him leaving and Brady staying. So
what if McDaniels leaves to the Browns? Who's going to take over as OC?
I don't know. I mean, well, you know, the most qualified in-house candidate is now the head coach of the Giants.
All rise.
Here comes
the judge.
Well, it's all because of that great job he did with the wide receiving core in New England.
Oh, come on.
There's a little spice. Taking shots at the guy. He's not even – didn't even sign the contract yet, Senior?
Hey, here's an interesting – John was talking about the personnel, and just here's an interesting aside comment about it when you talk about the receiving core of the Patriots. N'Keal Harry, first round pick. Mohamed Sanu equals second round pick. And Philip Dorsett equals Jacoby Brissett. And if for some reason we're wrong, I agree, I think Tom's saying, but if some reason he goes, I would feel a whole lot better about Jacoby Brissett than I do about Jared Stidham. Yep. Those three guys that gave us nothing. That's what we could have instead. And that's I keep saying we. I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk about the Patriots in the first person.
We wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have it any other way, Senior. If we your homerism is well known throughout the nation.
That's and another. I just want to piggyback on another point John made when he said the key to the game was first and goal at the one and they didn't score. I agree. And you know what? If you go back a few years ago when the Patriots were the high powered offensive Patriots, they could afford that. But with the way that this team played this year, where you're trying to win games with defense, keeping the score down, you're not going to get that many opportunities. And when you get a first and goal at the one, you absolutely have to put it in the end zone. And they didn't. That was huge. I said it when it happened. So keen observation, John.
All right.
They put too much pressure on the defense also. As we saw in the game before, the reason why they're playing this game is because, you know, God forbid, poor Stephon Gilmore had just a mediocre game. And, you know, Devontae Parker ate him up a little bit in that Dolphin game, which caused them to lose the bye and play this game. So the defense had to be perfect. There was a thin line. And
very thin line.
No, the defense not only had to stop people, but to win a lot of the games this year.
They had to score points.
The defense or the special teams had to also score points. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's just asking way too much. You just need more from your offense.
Yep. So I think we put a nice bow on that. Hopefully the Pats are back stronger than ever. We'll obviously give us something very exciting to talk about throughout the offseason. The soap opera will continue. Tennessee goes to Baltimore, where they're pretty significant underdogs. I have heard some rumblings. Hey, they could be a tough matchup for the Ravens. I don't personally see it. I just think the Ravens' offense is, and Lamar is just kind of too good. And Tennessee's defense isn't that good, and the Ravens' defense is good. And I mean, obviously the Tennessee path to victory is kind of similar to what they did to the Patriots, but I mean they barely beat the Patriots with that path of run and keep the other offense off the field. I don't see it. I like Baltimore by double digits. I think it's over fairly early. I think it's the Lamar Jackson show in a big, big, big way. Anyone have a differing opinion there?
No, I completely agree. For one thing, I don't think Derrick Henry's rushing for 190 yards. The Raven defense is very strong against the run, which is going to force Tannehill to try to beat him. And he would have to put up a lot of points to beat him, because I agree, the Tennessee defense is nothing special. I think Lamar's going to pan fry him. I don't even think this is a game.
The only way it's a game is because Tennessee has absolutely nothing to play for. They got no pressure in the world. They just beat the champs. So they're on house money. They can be playing fast and loose. Maybe Vrabel pulls out some Tennessee specials, and that'll be the only way for them to keep it close. But I'm in agreement with you guys. They're going to have to need Tannehill to make a couple plays, and that's not going to happen. They lived a charmed life where they had the perfect game where Tannehill didn't have to do anything.
They barely won. And I mean, let's face it, right? Baltimore is quite a bit better than the Patriots at this point, right?
Especially offensively, yes. Offensively, it's a big difference.
So we'll move on. The other Saturday game might be the single worst played playoff game I've ever seen. And nothing against the teams, but it was really sloppy. It was Buffalo at Houston. Buffalo jumps all over them 16-0 and then somehow loses the game. Loses the game in overtime, 22-19. Josh Allen in the second half tried to give this game away 9 times. Real bad. I mean, it's not like Houston even really played that good. Buffalo very much like lost and blew this game. Bad look. Like, I really like that Buffalo team. Hopefully Allen learns from that experience, but nothing I saw out there would put the fear of God into me if I was Kansas City about the Texans. But I'd like, John, I'd like your thoughts kind of on the game. I know it's sort of your kind of game in that there weren't a lot of points, but I don't know if it was because of great defense or just, you know, bad offense.
Nah, me and your fill-in last week, we kind of nailed this one. We both picked the Texans, and some of the reasons we gave kind of came true, that Allen would be shaking in his first start, as opposed to Watson, who was terrible last year in his first playoff start. So he got those jitters out of the way, and he carried them, and he was the difference. And also, Watt inspired the Texans with the couple plays, which usually they rely, you know, too much on, and he's not able to you know, to make an impact on the game from the defensive side. But this time he was, and And yeah, I agree. And Josh Allen is going to be one of those polarizing players in the future where some are going to call him. He makes some plays where he looks like the worst quarterback in the world, some throws. But he also has that scramble and that big play ability where, you know, you saw he caught a touchdown. He made some big runs. And there was a play in that overtime, even though they were forced to punt after. But he made a scramble, got away from like three guys and threw – like off the wrong foot and made a nice third down conversion, which would have been a highlight play, which is, you know, which unfortunately they had to punt. And then Watson got the ball and he made the highlight play that won the game. So, you know, for Buffalo, there's still some optimism, but Allen's a lot of hit and miss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have Houston's heading into Kansas City. Really looks like a good matchup for Kansas City. I don't like Houston's defense. I haven't liked Houston's defense all year. I thought they were a terrible matchup for either. I'm sorry, but Baltimore or Kansas City are both terrible matchups for them. I thought Buffalo would at least have a puncher's chance against either of those teams because of their defense. I don't see any scenario here where Kansas City's not scoring like, you know, well over 30 points. And their defense has been playing better. And Will Fuller is very questionable. He's really, for whatever reason, he's very much the cog that makes that Houston offense go. To have any chance at all, he has to play and be 100%. Even with him out there, I don't really see it. Senior, how do you see that game going?
Yeah, they did say that today I heard that Fuller's playing. That doesn't tell you that he's at 100%, but... Correct. Right? Houston did beat him in the regular season, if I remember right.
Yes, in Kansas City, sure.
And it was a really good game, and Deshaun played great. Despite all that, I'm going to agree with Cowboy on this one. I see this as a Kansas City win. I don't know. I don't think that highly of Houston. I don't think they played that great in that game. The game against Buffalo. Their history in the playoffs really isn't anything that's going to get you excited. I don't think their defense can even slow down the Chiefs. And, I mean, that game was kind of early in the season. The last maybe 5, 6, 7 weeks or so, that Chiefs defense is much, much improved. And, you know, I think that's going to be the difference, really. I mean, the Chiefs defense, I think, can at least slow down the Houston offense. And that's all they're going to have to do because their offense is going to score plenty of points. So, I see a double-digit victory for the Chiefs. You can get your thoughts on that, John?
Yes. Hate to be boring, but I agree with you guys. Houston shot their load. They beat them in the season. But to your point, Senior, the Kansas City defense, way much improved. They got that mojo under Spagnuolo, who, of course, has a playoff experience, Super Bowl experience. As a defensive coordinator. So I see, by more than one score. I think Houston, the only thing that'll help them was the same thing as Tennessee. They have absolutely no expectations playing with house money. They're going to be fast and loose. There's no pressure. As a matter of fact, it looked like in that Buffalo game, when it was 16-0, when that play where the returner almost gave up that touchdown – and the fans were going crazy. Right there, I said that's gonna be one of Cowboys' specials where they're gonna fly a Bill O'Brien right on the field in the middle of the game. But if that play stood, but hey, to his credit, he survived and his team fought back and he got off the Black Monday list with that performance. But
he wasn't exactly Vince Lombardi in that game.
Like we discussed, Allen helped him out too. But hey, they at least fought. They could have packed it in. They could have packed it in.
Absolutely. So that's all three of us like Kansas City by double digits. So given the track record of the guys who we have on the air tonight, if I were you guys, I'd be hammering that Houston money line. Go big. Go big. All right. So that's the Saturday matchups. Sunday, I'm going to talk about the late game first, because I think the early game was really the game of the weekend, and I'd like to spend a little extra time on that. Seattle against Philadelphia's preseason team. I mean, the poor Eagles, right? I mean, what did they do? Who did they piss off? Because I mean, Wentz has been doing it with smoke and mirrors because he's got no skill position guys. The whole offense is hurt. And then for good measure, he goes down at the beginning of the game. Admirable performance by Josh McCown at 40 years old, essentially off the couch. With those same lack of weapons that that Wentz had. He came in, he gave it his all. When I saw that Wentz went down early like that and was watching the game, I figured Seattle was going to win the game, you know, 28-7 or something. And Philly was in it right until the end. They fought. Some of that, and we've been saying this all year, John and I have, Senior. Seattle's like kind of a play down to the level of your competition sort of team where they seem like every game's close and, you know, it doesn't exude a bunch of confidence. They probably should have won this game by more. But for a 9-7 team that barely snuck into the playoffs, I'm proud of the Eagles. they were, you know, so in that division with the Cowboys, I mean, they had, by the end of the year, the talent disparity for those two teams was ridiculous. It was almost like a professional team versus like an XFL team. And the Eagles figured out a way to win that game. They figured out a way to hang tough in the playoffs. Great job by Peterson. Great job by the Eagles. They'll be back. And Seattle was a little disappointing. The one thing for Seattle I think that they can hang their hat on is that even though the Philly pass defense does suck, 2 weeks in a row, DK Metcalf has been pretty much uncoverable, which is a real nice little wrinkle for them. So, Senior, anything to add there?
No, I was just going to sing the praises. That was the most impressive thing in the game was Metcalf's play. And the feistiness of the Eagles, I'll go along with that. McCown playing quarterback, really the only guys he has to throw the ball to are his tight ends, and Ertz is injured, playing hurt.
Lacerated
so Goddard
kidney.
Has a good game. Yeah. Little Boston Scott is making plays, you know, and yeah, it was interesting. I was almost looking for the storybook ending where McCown went down and Greg Ward quarterbacked him to victory.
Yeah.
It was starting to kind of, it would have been a cool thing to see, you know, but yeah, Metcalf was really the difference maker. He made some plays, and the way he's been playing lately, yeah, now it's a heck of a receiving tandem if Tyler Lockett becomes your number two. I mean, and you know, you gotta still consider them, you know, as much as they always play close games, Seattle tends to find a way to win, and Russell tends to make plays when the chips are down. You know, the game on the line, you give him the ball. He's one of those guys that'll make that last drive, make the big plays in the fourth quarter. You would think they would have had an easier time with the Eagles, but that's just not their personality. And to the Eagles' credit, you know, you can't just say it's not just all Seattle. To the Eagles' credit, they really fought. You know, I'm not a big Eagle guy, but I found myself rooting for them watching the game. They really played their hearts out. So props to the Eagles. Very impressive stuff from DK Metcalf. That's about the whole take from the game, really.
Yep. And John, so we have Seattle now, last game again, Sunday late afternoon. Seattle going to Green Bay. I think I can speak for you and say these are, of all the elite or quote-unquote elite top teams in the league, these were probably the two teams that we were the most skeptical of all year. I mean, to me, it's an impossible game to predict. Like, nothing would really surprise me. But that's why you're here, my friend. Tell me what's going to go down.
What's going to go down is I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people picking Seattle. They've been better on the road than they have been at home. They've been real tough at home, and they played a solid game in Philly. I hated to see the way Wentz went down with that clown. Yeah, there at least should have been a 15-yard penalty. It wasn't like an overtly dirty play. It was just an over-aggressive play by Clowney. He should at least got hit with a 15-yarder. But, you know, Wentz has been fragile, but you can't blame him on that one. That was a tough way to go. But, and as far as Green Bay, it looked like they were really getting into championship form when they smoked Minnesota on the second of last week. But then they went right back down the week after, and they were just lucky. They barely beat David Blau in Detroit to get the – to get the home field advantage.
Are you sure that's how he pronounces his
name? Yes, it's Brown.
Ow.
If he was with the Giants. Ow. If he was with the Giants, it would be blow. Yeah, it would be blow. But, yeah, and Green Bay barely got by, so this is going to be a toss-up. I'm sure a lot of people are picking Seattle, but I'm going to go with Green Bay on this one. Seattle, they cannot run the ball at all. They lost too many running backs. They couldn't run the ball. DK Metcalf had to heroically pull them through Philly. That play was that touchdown was a huge play where he got up and he carried it, continued into the end zone. Because if he stopped at two or three, the way the Seattle's offense is, they probably would have had to settle for a field goal, and that would have been a big difference in that game. So I'm going to go with Green Bay, even though Rodgers has been a little lackluster this year. I think the Smith boys, Zadarius and Preston, are going to get some pressure and make some plays on Russell Wilson.
It's a real tough game to call. What I think may happen, and I hope does happen, is I really don't like either of these defenses. I haven't all season, and I think it could end up being like a Rodgers versus Wilson shootout. Like that, you know, with a game that plays in the high 20s, early 30s, where they're going back and forth. And with that could be a treat for us. Two of the best to ever do it. Two of the most clutch guys ever. I think that would be fantastic. Green Bay's got a better running game. Seattle's got a better run defense. Green Bay's run defense really, really sucks and has all season. You got to think the beast might eat a little bit, even though he's a little bit of a shell. It'll be another week that he's been getting into shape, but I'm gonna pick Green Bay too in Lambeau. But really, this is like a giant stay away game for me as far as a prediction, because you could Seattle could win this game by 20 points, Green Bay could win this game by 20 points, and I wouldn't be surprised either way. Senior, what do you think?
I agree. Really, you know, to me, when I looked at the playoffs, at this point in the playoffs, the AFC seemed cut and dry, and the NFC is like, who knows who's going to advance in these NFC games. Hold a gun to my head. I know Seattle's road record is great. Hold a gun to my head, and I'd have to go with the Packers at Lambeau. But, man, oh, man, this could go either way, but I'm gonna say Packers win a close game, and I'm gonna say the difference maker in the game is Aaron, but not Rodgers, Jones. That Green Bay offense goes through Aaron Jones right now. That's really who they are. And maybe if Seattle had Carson healthy, you know, it would be a different story, because as you say about Green Bay's run defense, not good at all, and Carson might have made hay, but I don't know if without him, if Seattle can just run on them. I don't see it being a high-scoring game. These two teams are weird. You know, when you look, if you look at them statistically, they really don't, they're not as good as their records, but somehow they're 13-3 and 11-5. Kind of unimpressive, 13-3 and 11-5. They both do have great franchise quarterbacks who could make some big plays, but I'm saying Green Bay in a close game, led by Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, the difference maker.
All right, that's another triple agreement there. So all my friends out there, you probably want to parlay that Seattle money line with the Houston money line and just walk all the way to the bank, baby. Just kidding. All right, and last but not least, definitely the game of the weekend, a team that we talked about a lot on here, that John's had a soft spot for, that we really like, and you know, it's like we've kind of been going through these trials and tribulations with their quarterback, you know, waiting for him to get over the hump, and he did it a couple times this year, but this was a tough spot. So you had Minnesota going into New Orleans, arguably the most difficult place to win in the NFL, and Minnesota comes away with the victory. Kirk Cousins gets the playoff monkey off his back in emphatic fashion. The Minnesota defense was fantastic in this game, and for us Patriot fans, it gave us all the fodder in the world to talk about the failure of a season that they had in New Orleans at 13-3 with that first round playoff loss. And is, you know, does Drew Brees have it? Like, you know, very uninspiring performance by the Saints in the playoffs. And it, and it's a long kind of becoming a pattern for them where they come up small in the biggest games. And you know, I don't know if they're blaming the refs again with Kyle. Kyle Rudolph had the arm extended, but you know, that was their crybaby stuff last year. And I don't know. I just don't know. You know, it's maybe they're more of a regular season team at this point, but or maybe it's Sean Payton. But there's something going on there that is not great. But all credit to Minnesota. John, I know you love the Vikings. You've been on them all year. You believed when others did not. Give me your breakdown.
I have to confess, I gave up after that Green Bay game. I sold them out. And yeah, last week I picked the Saints strong. I almost guaranteed it. So eating a little crow there. And now
wait, forget it. I wasn't here last week, John. You were all thrown off. I wouldn't have let you get away with that Saints pick.
I always praise the I praise the Minnesota, how solid they are. I like Zimmer as a coach and how solid they are on the on both lines, but the offensive line kind of fell apart towards the end of the season, but they got it back together here, and with Cook making the plays, my prediction for this game, I could sum it up in three words. You like that?
Hey, that's what he said after the game.
I'm rolling with the Vikings here. The only caveat is I think they look like they traded for Odell Beckham number two on the sidelines. Stephon Diggs, when he doesn't get the ball, he's throwing his helmet, and you know, it's been a few weeks since we just talked about a diva wide receiver
picking him to beat the 49ers. Is that
yes?
Oh no, wow! All right, I like it. Yeah, I like it. I like that, John. So you know, but Diggs is a diva. But, I mean, he's like five times the actual receiver on the field that Beckham is. I mean, honestly, he's a scary, scary dude. Defenses have to account for him, and he's not a, you know, you know how we feel about Odell at this point.
Yeah.
Needs a change of scenery again.
But Thielen was banged up a lot during the end, and it seems like they were saving him for the playoffs.
Did he ever step up?
Yeah, did he ever
huge
step up?
Huge play.
And also, I like the same factor that I like, you know, with the AFC games, although I didn't pick them. I like the nobody's really going to be expecting a Minnesota in this one. Everybody's going to be heavy on the 49ers. And it's kind of like and Zimmer might have been in the same spot. If they threw up a bad game versus New Orleans, he might have been on the outs. And I think now he's going to ride the wave. He's going to be back strong, and they're going to rally behind them. So
talk to me about the Saints.
Under the radar, it's lucky they got that one. They got that one ring in that pocket, because under the radar, they've been. I don't want to say like chokers, but underperformers in the playoffs. With both the Hall of Fame coach and the Hall of Fame quarterback, both Peyton and Brees got to take responsibility. Brees, that was just a terrible fumble. You can't make
real
that fumble
bad.
in the fourth quarter.
Bad.
And the coach was some bad clock management, a misuse of timeouts. He should have gave him a chance to score a touchdown at the end. Instead, they had to settle for field goals. Real, they didn't save their best game for the playoffs. Even though their great kicker Lutz missed a makeable field goal between 40 and 49, where he only missed like one or two all year, and that could have been the difference too. So they didn't step up. Kamara fell off this year, so. There was a lot not to like about the Saints. I was high on them, and they didn't come through in the big time. And if they didn't have that one the Super Bowl, a lot of people would be talking about them as non-clutch performers.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if that stupid onside kick they did in the Super Bowl gets recovered by Indy. Peyton's out of a job. I mean, really, right?
Also, I've mentioned in a championship game. I don't want to be repetitive. I mentioned it several times how they kind of got in because of Favre kind of gave them that championship game on a silver platter with a couple picks. So
And it was a pick six that won that game for them, and not necessarily a phenomenal Drew Brees performance. But besides the point, I was really taken aback by the clock management. I know Senior was as well. We were watching the game together. I mean, it's like any kid who's played Madden. I mean, you got one timeout left. There's 2:45 left. They let him run it all the way down. The guy catches the punt with 2:05 left. Well, fair catch, and then you at least get the 2-minute warning for a timeout. So you essentially, and then they kick the field goal with the timeout. They never used it, so you essentially lose two timeouts there. Really, awful. Really, just putrid clock management. Taysom Hill was their best player, and I know that that's something that the usage of him, John, is something that you and I and a lot of others have kind of derided, but he played great. I mean, he was the best player on the field for them, and it was actually a game where maybe Peyton should have gone to him more.
Yeah. Well, let's clarify that. We like him as a runner or receiver, but we don't like it like a lot of times during the season. Brees would be rolling, and Peyton would just throw him in there, you know, as a quarterback to throw, you know. But this time it was actually needed because he gave the offense a spark. But it turns out that Brees. It turns out Brees is the third best quarterback on the field Sunday, which is
Taysom Hill, 50 passing yards, 50 rushing yards, 25 receiving yards, and a touchdown.
Yep.
However, if you look at it from the Minnesota point of view, let's see, we took Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara out of the game. That's a pretty good trade-off. If we're going to go that Taysom Hill's going to be the guy to beat us, but I mean, a very, very, very impressive performance by the Minnesota defense right out of the chute. I mean, they held New Orleans to 25 yards in the first quarter, 25 offensive yards. They set the tone. I was extremely impressed with the Minnesota defense. And I mean, really big. And they got their running game going. And Kirk got a little bit of a monkey off his back. And, hey, you know, he looked good. I mean, the biggest play of the game was a great throw by Kirk, a great, great throw, and a great catch by Thielen. That was an incredible play. And even on the play that the Saints are crying about, that was a beautifully thrown ball to win the game. Kirk really came through in the clutch. And the Saints, with all their stars, just a huge disappointment. Poor coaching with the clock management. You know, they lost the game 26-20, and I feel like they got blown out. They just played awful. So, bye-bye, Saints. We're not going to miss you.
There we go. So, you know, I hate to do this, but I wrote it down before the show, and I'm gonna stick to it. I thought for sure I would be the only one to grab Commander
like
Kirk on the road at the Niners. I really like the Niners. I think they're
like
a really good team. I think Minnesota matches up pretty well to them. I think Minnesota can keep it close. And, man, it's almost like when David Price finally got a win in the World Series, and then he was just, like, lights out after that. I feel like Kirk's going to play a good game, and I don't trust that. I think Garoppolo is going to give it up once or twice, and I think that's going to be the difference. And I think Minnesota is going to win a close game based on a turnover or two from Jimmy G that are not reciprocated by Mr. Cousins. So,
Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin are going to have to repeat their performance. They were terrors, and they wrecked some stuff in that Saints game. They have to do the same thing and force Jimmy G into giving it up a couple times.
So, Vikings close. Could be a team of destiny.
Nah. We shot a load early. If it doesn't come through, that's the first game. You know,
that's all right.
Save the...
Our listeners are used to us being wrong. they keep coming back. Senior.
I'm seeing it as a real, real close game, too. Very impressed with the Minnesota defense. So I'm saying very, you know, pretty low scoring because I respect San Francisco's defense as well. Both teams can run the ball a bit. You know, really, Cook was getting it going. And the 49ers running game, especially Mostert, has been very, very good of late. But I see the defense is not letting either team just put it down their throat. I do think give Cousins a bit of an edge over Jimmy G. I think Jimmy G's more likely to turn it over. But I'm going to pick the 49ers in a close game for two reasons. the two factors that I'm going to see is number one, home field. It's going to be a nut house because it's been a long time for them. And the other reason is that they have the best player on the field, George Kittle, and he's going to make with his blocking and his pass catching, whatever. George Kittle's going to make some plays that make the difference in the game. Best player on the field, home field, slight edge, 49ers, but a close game.
It's most likely.
Like 20-17.
Most likely, that's it's a most likely scenario. I mean, John and I are picking an upset, and everything you said makes sense, Senior. I think we all see a close game, though, so hopefully it's a fun game to watch.
Yeah, if Harrison Smith is one of the Saints, is one of the Vikings' better defenders, so hopefully he'll be able to neutralize Kittle.
So I've never thought I'd ever see a guy what I say this about, but I feel like I'm watching a young Gronk when I watch Kittle. You know, like that complete tight end that just runs people over with the ball and loves blocking. That clip that they keep showing of the play where he knocked the guy about 8 yards into the end zone a few weeks ago and gets up with a big, big smile on his face, loves blocking. He's a joy to watch. He's a real special player.
Biggest wrestling fan in the NFL as well, yep. Which is what we love about it. All right, so consensus is Vikings at Packers and Kansas City at Baltimore for the title games. So I'm actually going to, you know, talking other sports. I'm going to be in Vegas for the weekend, for the Sunday of the conference championship games. I'm going to be going attending the Conor McGregor fight the night before live. So John Senior, maybe we can do a little, we can get a little this week in the NFL action from Sin City. If you guys are down.
That'd be awesome.
From the Spearmint Rhino, live from the Rhino.
I don't even know what that is. There you go. But they'll do it from the stadium. Country. That's right, Senior. Don't listen to this guy.
But let me get your guys' opinion. We had some coaching hires this week. Who made out the best this week, as far as the hires?
The Cowboys. I mean, I like I think McCarthy's a good coach. I think Garrett's a putrid coach. I think the Cowboys are the kind of team that McCarthy's going to be a good coach for. Which is the pieces are in place. You know, he doesn't need to work miracles. He just needs to not fuck it up. And I think he'll be able to. I think he'll help them a lot.
Yeah, he's proven that he can win in the NFL, and it completely makes sense. Hopefully Jerry lets him do his job. We all know that the only reason that Garrett survived that long is that he was kind of that. You know, Jerry liked having a yes man there. Because he probably should have been fired about 4 or 5 years ago. And who knows? You think it's possible he could be taking over the Giants' offense, John?
Garrett, no, nah, it doesn't look good. I think the judge wants to get his own cabinet in there, his own people in there.
Yeah, and I mean the other one, John, is the Panthers. Right, real nice track record. For Rule coming from Baylor. I don't necessarily agree with what they did. I really liked Riverboat Ron, but sometimes the relationship has run its course, as they say. But Rule stepping into a nice situation, depending on what they do with the quarterback position, but I think he'll be an asset for them.
If you like Riverboat Ron, maybe we're saying the Redskins had a good hire. I like them too. I think that was a solid hire for the Redskins.
I feel bad for him.
He's got his work cut out for him.
I feel bad for him. I mean, it's the most dysfunctional organization in all four of the major sports, if you ask me. I mean, they are a total shit show, and I don't see him being a. I mean, he's a good coach, but I don't think he can overcome the shit show that's around him. I mean, they are a complete friggin' joke.
Yeah, he's really got his work cut out for him, no doubt.
What do you think, Chad?
If he can win 6 or 7 games, he'll be well respected.
If he wins 6 or 7 games, they should put him in Canton right away. I mean, that's a one-win roster right now. I mean, they don't even empty stadium. Yeah. Dwayne Haskins, just no shot. Just he'd better off retiring right now than playing for that team. They're a joke. They're a joke, and they're going to be a joke as long as Snyder's the owner.
Yeah, well, it's a step in the right direction. If they get a good GM, and they could turn things around. Who knows?
What good GM is going to go there? Really? Would you? I mean, their only chance is to luck out on someone with no experience.
Yeah.
That ends out being
exactly.
GM.
Exactly.
Because anybody
you never
proven,
know who that is. Yeah.
Anybody proven is going to want nothing to do with that dumpster fire.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to have to luck out on a first time hire, sure.
So I'm giving you a little preview of who my Raiders are for next season. We're going to hit them early. We're going to hit them often, John. Yeah. And what did you think of the Giants hire, John? Kind of a little bit out of left field, right? Like not a big name, but it doesn't have to be a big name to be successful.
Yeah, I wasn't too overwhelmed by that. The last few college transfers to the pros haven't really worked out, so I wasn't too hot on Rule, especially for 7 years, because you know the Giants weren't going to go there. They already have to pay Shermer for 3 more years. They gave him a 5-year contract, which was a disaster. So, and plus the Giants are the old school, the old boys type of owners. They're not going to just lay a 7-year contract, including a bailer payout. On an unproven college guy, even though he did have some experience with the Giants, so it was the next best thing, I think, instead of going with the retreat like a Garrett or somebody like that, or McCarthy or Rivera, I wouldn't have been too upset. But then on the other hand, I wouldn't have been overjoyed, because both those guys failed out in other places. They failed so bad that they had to be fired, you know, before the season was over. So it's outside the box, and they're hoping to get the same kind of success. You know, Harbaugh was a special teams guy, a special teams coach too. So instead of going with a coordinator that just knows offense like Shermer and didn't know, you know, doesn't know anything about leadership or how to coach any other parts of the yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Just because a guy's a good coordinator, nobody knows what makes a good leader nowadays. It's real tough. And especially in New York, you got to handle that press. The press is a beast. In New York, the last two guys were an epic disaster. I mean, McAdoo walked in on the first day. He walked in with his father's suit on, looking like a soup sandwich. And since day one, the press ate him up. And Shermer just you know, he was a nice guy, but he couldn't take criticism and made a lot of excuses. So you can't be like that. So hopefully, Mr. Judge, he learned from two of the best, Saban and Mr. Bill, on how to handle a tough press. When it gets too hot, you just say, we're on to Cincinnati, and that's that. You get them off your back. But the biggest thing, the biggest way to keep the press off the back is to win. And you know, that's the unknown. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you could have brought a guy. I mean, it could have been like Coughlin again, you know, so this is good.
Nah, yeah, instead of retreat. I would have liked to see, like I told Justin last week, that Wink Martindale, the coordinator from Baltimore, you know, and bringing in Joe Brady, the LSU coordinator. So that would have been more ideal. But we'll see how it works out.
And what do you guys think? Who do you think is going to be the Browns? Do you think it's going to be McDaniels?
Yeah, it's looking like Josh.
The Minnesota offensive coordinator's name he's interviewing tomorrow, right?
Stefanski, yeah. Kevin Stefanski. Yeah.
A lot of, you know, I don't know if, you know, the talk I hear is true, but you hear a lot that Josh McDaniel, a lot of teams may be shying away from him because of what he did to the Colts, where, you know, he took the job and then bailed out 4 days later, and nobody wants that to happen to them. And so, you know, there might be some owners that say, screw him, you know. It seems odd that all these teams hired coaches before they even gave him his interview, and it could happen again. Cleveland could make their hire tomorrow and not give him an interview.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah.
So, guys, can't wait for the games this weekend. I love having the two of you guys here with me. This was a whole lot of fun, and we're gonna hopefully keep doing that. Any last words before I run through what we have going on here at Place to Be Nation?
Just a little preview for when we move on to the basketball season. Your Celtics are looking good, and it turns out tomorrow night they're playing the Sixers. Embiid is out with a dislocated vagina. He's out.
Dislocated again, huh? Again?
It seems to happen when they play the Celtics.
Big Al Horford revenge game.
Last I looked, the Celts were getting their asses handed to them by the Spurs tonight. So it's going to be a little bit of a bad two-game stretch after losing to Washington the other night, going into tomorrow. But that's the end. You know, it's a long season, and I think they'll be up for tomorrow night's game. But I do like, you know, you got to like the Celtics. I think it's a nice position to be in, to have two really young stars to be good, that you can build a team around, and Tatum and Brown, and to also have two veteran stars in Hayward and Kemba. It's a really nice mix, and I think they could make a run in the playoffs this year.
We shall see. So bear with me one second here as I tell you what's going on with Place to Be Nation. So over on the wrestling feed on the Place to Be Network special, Scott Criscolo, Kelly Nelson, and Jake Williams live watch the Primetime Wrestling Ultimate Challenge from 3/26/90. On PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance number 14, JT, Jenny, and the one and only John D'Amato continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of Hardcore TV from August 1994. No Holds Barred is back in episode number 16 with JT and Aaron revealing both of their full lists for the GWWE project. On episode number 31 of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben Zanny and guest Dylan Hales count down their top 10 indie wrestlers of 2019. In the third episode of With This Ring, hosts Ryan and Cindy discuss matches that have more famous rematches at WrestleMania. On the Special Relations podcast number 2, Callum, Ben, and Rory discuss their GWWE ballots, favorite Christmas songs, and briefly touch on December to Dismember 2006. On Jenny and the Gems number 4, Jenny, Matt, Scott, and Drew are back with WCW's All-Nighter 1995. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Pop Feed. We're littered with great content, offering tremendous shows like yours truly, This Week in the NFL, The Hard Traveling Fanboys, Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, The Year in Pop, Laugh in Theater, DC for You, Marvel Age, The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, Journey Through Infinity, and more. On our social media pages, the greatest sitcom of all time tournament is now underway. As listeners of our show know, we're in round one. Still, there was a absolute travesty in round one as the official sitcom of This Week in the NFL, Sledgehammer, was thumped by the Wonder Years. Any thoughts, guys?
My whole thought, I kind of expressed it on a page for those that didn't read it. All I would do would be challenge anyone who voted for the Wonder Years to watch any episode of each show back to back and tell me which one you're laughing more. You're going to have tears rolling down your face when you watch Hammer. What we're judging a sitcom is on laughs. It's not even close. The fact that it got blown away is an absolute joke. John, do you have a comment?
I just blame Winnie Cooper. That was the only reason to vote for the Wonder Years. But as far as laughs, 100% agree with Sledgehammer. It's an underappreciated classic.
Standard line, John.
Trust me, they don't know what they're doing when it came to voting.
Well said.
One last time, John, for the people in the back. I'm sorry, I was muted there. One last time. Can you give it to us one more time, John?
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Right. And RIP, Sledgehammer. And if you voted for the Wonder Years, we know who's who's not going to be paying for your meal. We'll just say that. We've also officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do research, promote matches, and to build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. Last but not least, if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. So a lot of good stuff. Check it out. Remember, when the bill comes, pay your fair share. That's what we say here over on This Week in the NFL. If you're ever given the opportunity to vote for Sledgehammer for anything, vote for Sledgehammer, watch Sledgehammer. Give us your thoughts. But we'll be back next week, loud and proud. So for John and for Senior, we're out.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.